Good morning, everyone. Good to see your faces here this morning. Yes. Just so I don't forget, and tonight we do have our annual business meeting, so that is tonight at 6 o'clock. So hopefully you're going to be here. If you want a book prior, I got some books over here on where I sit. You can come by and pick one up, but make sure you bring it back with you when you come tonight. We do an annual meeting once a year, talk about all the stuff that we need to do, and then we go on and get back into our ministry and the works that God's called us to do. But we definitely are living in a time that is very shaky. But I want to remind you that we're still, even though it's shaky, you can go back into the book of Acts and you can find out how shaky your life can really get when they start coming to arrest you and put you to death for your beliefs in Christ. But the Lord calls us to live different than the world. The world does what it does. When you became saved, you begin to grow up and you walk with the Lord, what happens is you start to feel funny even living in the world. That you're making choices differently than the world makes choices. And when you make a wrong choice or you sin, there's something that happens once you become a Christian. It starts moving, the Lord, Holy Spirit starts moving in you. And you are convicted knowing that what you did was not right before God. And so what God does is he touches your heart and he gives you that conviction. He's saying, now let's get back on the right track. The world doesn't have that. The lost have emotions. They have convictions about things. But there is no conviction like the Holy Spirit. You can't shake it until you deal with it. You might want to hide it or suppress it, but it will always be there. Until you deal with it with God. So God calls us to live different. He calls us to be different. This is not a political message by no means at all, but some of you may take it in the wrong way. I hope that you don't. This isn't about this or that. This is about God's Word. And as I've read through the Scriptures and through the New Testament, to me, one of the hardest books to read is where we're going to be today, and that's in 1 Peter. He don't pull no punches. He doesn't pull back. He puts it right in our face on how we are to be. So we are called to be different. Because God expects us to be different. Because we have the Holy Spirit that's inside of us, that he's given to us, that we ought to be able to follow the lead of the Holy Spirit, and our life is to be different. 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 Well, we're going to get into it, and I hope that you're going to be okay with it. If not, you're going to have to work it out. Because I'm going to be honest with you, I had to work it out. Now I have to work it out. But chapter 1 of 1 Peter, he says in verse 15, "But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy." Be holy. Because I am holy. Keeping your dedication to God. And living as God called you to live. Putting God as the priority. Knowing that God's Spirit is inside of you. That you are to be righteous. To live Christ-like. And he says to be holy. We're supposed to live holy. We're supposed to be holy. You don't get no free rides. Because you're special. This is everybody. This is all believers. There's no special rides. If you don't listen, no, we are called to be holy. And when you're called to be holy, that means there comes expectations. When you walk into a room, when you walk into a restaurant, when I walk into a restaurant, I am not special. But when I walk in that restaurant, I know this, that the Holy Spirit is going wherever I go. We partnered up. Now I can't put him away on Saturday night and pick him up on Sunday morning. He's with me when I sleep. He's with me throughout the whole day. He's with me for the rest of my life. Because Jesus said, I'll never leave you, nor forsake you. That's what the Father said. And those who those who are believers, he's deposited the Holy Spirit inside of us. That's, you'll see that in the book of Ephesians, that we have that deposit, the Holy Spirit. It's not by works, but by God's grace. That's how salvation comes. But when I walk in that room or wherever I walk, there's something going in with me. It is God's Spirit. When I walk in there, I feel like this. The most powerful being is walking in this room. It's not me, but it's what's in me. I'm called to be different. I'm called to speak different. I'm called to talk different. I'm called to look at things differently than the world looks at them. Now, I told you it's going to get a little hot. Because I had to work on that myself. But when I walk into a room, I know this, that things can change in the atmosphere. Now, I'm not saying I'm laying hands on this person and walking over here and prophesying about that, but I know this, nothing is impossible with God. And what God does is he uses people. He uses his people. Why do you think he gives us spiritual gifts? I can walk into a room, and I can feel if there's a demonic presence in there. How? Because I know that Jesus Christ give me, the Holy Spirit give me the gift of discernment. I can walk and know, sometimes I just know that there's evilness in some spot of a building, one place in a room. I don't go looking for it, but I know it's there. There's other things that God uses in your life as a believer in Christ. You can walk into rooms and God, you don't know, but God has an intentional meaning that you're going to meet someone. And it just might be that waitress. Or it can be anyone. And what we see is you're to be holy. You're walking. I don't want to be lifted up. No, listen, you got to pick it up. You need to pick it up because the Holy Spirit is holy and he's inside of you. And we are called to live different. We're called to talk different and be different and to be aware of what's going on. So what Peter is saying here through this, as we go through, turn over to chapter 3. There's a lot going on in some of these prior verses. It talks about living godly lives in a pagan society. Don't expect people of the world to agree with you. They're not going to. Most of the time, they're not going to. Because the world is set up different. And people live different in the world than they do as a Christian and as a believer. You should be able to answer my question. Since you became a believer, are you living different than you were before you became a believer? In chapter 3, verse 8, I'm going to read this. It says, finally, all of you, he's talking to everyone. Prior, he's talking to husbands, wives, all these other people. But he says, all of you believers, all of you. You don't get out on this. It's all of us. All of you, be like-minded. We ought to be able to agree. We should be more agreeing on things than we disagree. Amen? Like I said, this is not about politics. And let me just say one thing about politics. You put your politics over here and you put your belief system over here and you think that you can do both of you, it ain't going to work. God has a lot to say about how you live and the choices that we should make. But he says, finally, all of you are to be like-minded. Now, there's going to be some disagreements on how we do certain things that's going to happen. But when he's saying spiritually, we should be like-minded. We should be like-minded on how we treat people. Here we go. Be sympathetic. What that does is get your eyes off yourself. You start looking around. You start seeing the hurts and pains of other people. And it's, we don't just go back to the car and go, wow. No, we need to release that. We need to live that out. Be sympathetic. When someone's talking down on someone else, listen, be sympathetic. Try to figure some things out. Try not to be so judgmental on the front end. Because some of us are pretty hard on judging. We need to go in the bathroom. We need to put our hands on the sink and look in the mirror and look at that person right there. Because what does the Bible say? Before you take a splinter out of someone else's eye, you need to take the plank out of your own. Self-examination. But we are, this is for everyone. Be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another. Now I want to tell you, that's something that I'm having a hard time finding. Love. Now, first, I kind of looked at it through the world. Is there love in the world? Well, there's types of love in the world, but not the kind of love that God's talking about. Because you can't love the way God wants you to love until you have God. And understand and have His gift of love. What's it say? For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Wow. For whosoever believeth Him. Wow. God gave His Son up for people that didn't even know Him. Love. We need to love people. And I want to tell you, we are love. We're hating people that we shouldn't be hating. We shouldn't be hating anyone. Only you know if you got that. I'm telling you, listen, there's a few people that get on my nerves and I just do this. And I've got to pray. And I've learned this. I need to pray for them. I need to pray for their salvation. You know, it takes a lot of energy to be angry. And the more you stay in the anger, it turns into bitterness, and it turns into a big monster called hate. And you can't see nothing but green hate. And then we pray and ask God to bless our life. And we're going against because God says it, for God so loved the world, but we can't even show love even in the church house. So what if somebody said something to you and it wasn't right? Hey, everybody has a bad day. Remember this, people say things because something may be going on in their life. Maybe they've got into it with their spouse. Maybe the word divorce is starting to come up. Maybe some children are getting into some trouble and they just kind of said something they shouldn't have said. And then we want to attack them and we don't even know what's going on behind the scene. But God does. There needs to be more love in the life house here, in this life house here. There needs to be more love in the community of believers. I need to express love more. This church needs to express love more. And not even just love for others, but love in our own family. Let's give some grace and mercy to our own family members. They may not be doing what you like, but try to figure out how to work with it the best you can. If they're believers, we're called to work it together the best we can. He says, be compassionate. Be compassionate. Have a heart. Don't be so hard. Where's that getting you? Why are we so hard? You know what? Most people have a family member that they have a hard time getting along with. Now, I'm seeing a lot of smiles. You can't see them, but I'm seeing them. There's usually one person in the family that people have a hard time getting along with. Give a little bit of compassion there. You don't have to always agree with them, but give some compassion there. You don't know what's going on. And they may just be this person that's always poking you in the side. It may be your thorn in the side. Because you can change your friends, but you can't change your blood. Yeah? Show some compassion. This world needs to see it. They're not seeing our love. They're not seeing the compassion. And the world's not going to see it unless the church, the believers, are expressing it and showing it. The most dangerous thing in the church is to get so sidetracked that you get caught up in ministries, you get caught up in what you're doing and forgetting how to live like you're called to live. Show some compassion. And if somebody ever show compassion to you, if you can't think of anybody, just look in your word, look in the Bible, look up. God's given you a lot of compassion. I know He has for me. But this is the awesome part of Peter. He just don't stop. He just keeps on going. He says, and humble. Be compassionate and humble. Don't always put yourself out in the front. Take a step to the rear. Take a step to the side. Let someone else come up in front. This is the whole changing. This is the complete opposite of the world. The world says, get up in the front. Show yourself. You're the best of the best. God says, step aside for a moment. Be humble. Let God lift you up when you need to be lifted up. But other than that, just stay off to the side. But the world says, lift yourself up. We love people that are lifted up. We should only have one be lifted up, and that is Jesus Christ. But he says this. He goes on now, he says this. And like I said, Peter's hard sometimes. Verse 9, do not repay evil with evil. Well, we may not always do it vengefully with our hands, but boy, we can do a lot with our mind and our hearts. And then we got to be careful. Something bad happens to someone else, there's an evil smirk that we can put on, and we're happy about it. Do not repay evil with evil, or what? Insult with insult. We need to shut our mouths sometimes. Let God do something. Keep your mouth shut. On the contrary, repay. He says, on the contrary, repay evil with a blessing. What? Now I'm not supposed to be called. Now I'm supposed to bless. With a blessing? Because to this you were called so that you may inherit a blessing. You know, the more that you live like Jesus, the more we live like the way the Word of God is, I believe the more blessings flow in our life. I just see it too much in Scripture where it works that way. But where you're more in strife and you're more in arguments and you're more into that negative part, the people always seem to be struggling. They're always edgy. Their life has got always something going on in it that's not good. God's called us to be different. Whoever, he says, for whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. Here we go. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Don't you think God doesn't see all the things that people do to you, to myself? Don't think God doesn't see the evilness that people do to our country. God sees it. But don't always be angry. Don't be angry sometimes at certain things, because you got to remember, sometimes God gives some mercy to people because he's working in their life. And you all know it the same as I do, that lives don't change overnight. As salvation, yeah, there could be salvation at that moment, but then the work starts happening. And it takes a little time for someone to change their life. It takes a little time to change their direction. We're creatures of habit. If you get up at 10 o'clock every morning, you get up at 10 o'clock every morning. Some people say, well, that's a lazy person. Well, you don't know if they don't get off work until 3 in the morning. You only heard that part. We're hard on people. Some people get up at 6 o'clock. I get up when the sun rises. But just as you rise, it sounds like sometimes your pride can rise. Let me remind you and myself that God knows the intention of every one of our hearts this morning. Whether you like this message or not, it's not going to thrill me, but it's whatever the Lord is working. He knows your heart right now, where it is, where it's displaced, where it is placed, what is going on, the goodness of it, the badness of it, wherever your heart is, where your mind's going, whether it's drifting or not. God knows. And yet you still, God gives you mercy. But he goes on. He doesn't stop there. I like the part where he says, now you live in living life right. You're seeking the way the gods are. What he says, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. I like that. There's kind of a reward for living right. The fervent prayer of a righteous man. The fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. God hears them prayers. And I want to tell you, we've all been in places where we know there's only one place to go, and that's to pray. Because we know we can't fix it. We can't heal them. We can't move that mountain. We can't take away that grudge someone has against you. You can't take that hate, whatever it is, the angerness away. And we go to prayer. And I'm going to tell you, when you're living the life that God's called you to live, I'm telling you, God is attentive to the prayers of His people. But He doesn't stop. He says here in verse 11, who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? We're called to do good. Who's going to harm you? Sometimes we'd say, yep, we're going to get harmed. But He says, but even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be threatened. Sometimes it feels like we're walking in the dark woods that we are very unfamiliar with. We're walking in the surroundings that we're unfamiliar. Sun goes down, it starts getting dark. We kind of feel lost. Start hearing noises that you heard during the day on the walk. You start hearing noises, but now you can't, you know, the darkness comes on and you can't hear. You hear these things, they become louder in the night. Fear begins to rise up. And we think something's bad going to happen. This is how we live life. But those who know the voice of the Lord can tune out all the other stuff and just listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, there's a peace even in times of tragedy, sorrow, and sadness, and even in loss. There's a peace that only God can give. There's a direction only God can give. But you must know His voice. His voice calls in those dark nights in the wilderness. But even if we are to suffer some, there's always, I want to say it, always, God is there with you. It's okay. But verse 15, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. We are not to forget that Jesus Christ is all who He says He is. That Jesus Christ is all what the Bible says He is. And you got your own testimonies that God has worked in your life. You have your own salvation experience, your own baptism experience, your own walk in life of your experiences. You know that He is real. So we need to live as He is real. We need to be that person He has called us to be holy. But He says, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. What? People see a life different when they see a Christian living out those Christian ways. They see it different. Some of you know, I haven't shared it with me, that you have lost some friends in the past. Some of your friends are not quite as close because you live different than they do. But He says, but do this with gentleness and respect. Respect. All right, I can, gentleness. Just easy, being easy. Where's the respect today for our brothers and sisters in Christ? Where's our respect today just for you people, just being human beings? Where's our respect today? The world is trashing all that. But there is no excuse for us to be like that. Because God's word says we are to be respectful. Whether they agree with us or not, or that person doesn't like what you're doing or like what you're saying, there is somewhat of a respect there. You know, Jesus, when He was arrested, they came to arrest Him that night. Just before that, He said, darkness must have its hour. This is the time of darkness as its hour. Praise God, just that short time. Jesus is arrested, and this right-hand guy comes in and right up alongside, and Peter just, this is the same guy we're reading right here. Peter whips out that knife and cuts that guy's ear right off. Jesus gets all over Peter. Jesus gets all over Peter for the way that he acted. Put your sword away. Jesus does something that's all. He picks up the ear, puts it back on. They missed it. Let's take him. He said, why you come with, why you going to tie me up? Why you come with chains? They take him to the priest, punch him, smack him, prophesy. Who smacked you? So we know his face may have been covered or just so many people in the crowd, but they popped him a good one. Who prophesied? Who hit you? Prophesy. Jesus didn't retaliate. Standing up there with Barabbas, killer, sinful man. Pilate says, who you want to let go? Barabbas. That's the world. That's the world. Barabbas. We want Barabbas. Crucify Jesus. Crucify. Darkness can't handle light. Jesus didn't retaliate. Of course, he's already went through the whipping post. Oh my gosh. Didn't retaliate. Ends up on the cross. Didn't retaliate. Jesus seen the big picture. These were the same people he came. Listen to me. These are the same people he came that they might have salvation. So why are we so hard on other people that are against us doing those things? Then we should be praying for them. Praying even if they're far distance, and we may pray for them that God may put a person in their life that they may get saved. Don't ever say a person can't get saved. Don't ever say a person is so vile that they can't get saved. Because the awesome power of Jesus Christ can save anyone. Look at your own sin and your own past. Aren't you glad that salvation didn't have a level of sin that if you went over it, you couldn't get saved? We ought to respect people and human beings because they are God's creation. He says, keeping a clear conscience in verse 16, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better if it is God's will to suffer for good, for doing good, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, and the righteousness for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He who was put to death in the body, but was made alive in the spirit. How can I even live holy if I'm living in this unholy world? Well, I can't do it outside of God. And I can't do it outside of God. I can't do it outside of Jesus Christ because I need salvation. And we know that he's next to the Lord, the Father. I can't do it without the Holy Spirit because he indwells in and convicts and moves us. So I can't live holy on my own, but I can live holy and be holy with what we call the Trinity. I can do that. But does that make me perfect? No, because there is something that I'm still a part of, and so are you. I'm still in this earthly, fleshly piece of clay body. So I've got work. I got a hard work with me on a continuous basis. Flesh wants to do one thing, and the Spirit wants to do another. But we work in our life. We work with the Lord. We draw closer. We get wiser in the Lord. We get more knowledge in the Word and in the Lord, so that we know that when it's wrong, we see that wrong choice coming up. Not that it's always staying in front of us, but that it's coming up. We have fair warning that many times we can go away from that because we know where that road leads. And if I'm working with things like compassion and love and humbleness and being sympathetic, those words, that lifestyle will keep me away from a lot of junk that could be a problem in my life. I can walk away from the hatred and the bitterness and the anger and the jealousy and the envies. I can walk away from those things because I'm more filled up, and I want to be more filled up with love and compassion and mercy. Let me tell you, let me just say one thing about the whole political thing. We all messed up on it. Not a one person was right about anything. Him. He created this big ball of mud and made it beautiful. And in the garden, we screwed it up. But he said, I love people so much that I love them, human beings that I created so much. I love them so much. That he prophesied, the prophets prophesied that the coming of the Messiah, the one, the Savior of the world. They messed it up when Jesus came. They thought he was going to be a kingship right there in Jerusalem. He's going to be the king right there, right then and now. They messed it up. Anytime you get into the world things and you start getting all up in the worldly things and you start stuff, you're going to mess it up. You're going to mess it up. I'm going to skip over to a part. Don't have time to get into the couple verses. Well, let me go ahead and read it anyway, real quick. After being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits. Where's my Bible deep readers? This is a wrestling scripture here. Some people believe that Jesus went to hell and preached down there. Some people believe he went on up, did other things. I mean, just me personally, you can do it as you want. But I believe that Jesus did go there and preach to those who were disobedient long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built, and it only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolized baptism, then that saves you also. Not the normal, not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. And it saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism, being buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. It's the promise. Jesus was raised. We're going to be raised again. Some people believe that baptism saves. I don't believe baptism saves. I believe first you have to acknowledge who Jesus is. So people can just come up and just say, I want to be baptized. I want to be saved. You've got to understand what it all means. Verse 27 says, who has gone into heaven? That's Jesus. Who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand? He's there with the angels, the authorities and powers in submission to him. Jesus is in control. Think of it like this. All angels, they're moving amongst this world. Their boss is Jesus. Now, let's flip it for a minute. Somebody said, what about those demons? Let's talk about those demons for a minute. They're doing havoc. Why doesn't God take care of them? God has a plan. God had a plan, and he still has the same plan. Go to the book of Revelation, you'll see some of that stuff. But let me remind you, when Jesus was on the earth walking in the flesh body, he would come into a place, and those that were demon-possessed would fall at his knees, and many of them would say, oh, what are you going to do? Oh, it's Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of... They knew who he was. They were fearful of him. He had not even went to the cross, but they were afraid. They knew him. Everything on the earth, Jesus rules over. You ever go to visit someone in their home? You ever go on somebody's property? Who's in charge? The owner. You go in their house, you try to be respectful, they ask you over for dinner or whatever, they come to invite. You go over, they invite you, you go over, you get into the house and you kind of keep your best bearings on, you kind of do the respectful thing and you kind of honor them because of what? It's their house. This is his. And God's not looking for the world to get it together. He's looking for the church. He's looking for us to get it together. So with all the angels and authorities and powers are in submission to him. So when it says this, it says be holy because he is holy. He's telling us we need to be holy. We need to be living right. He says to be compassionate, love one another. If he's telling us to do that, we better do it. And I better do it. And I better do it better today than I did yesterday. But God has mercy on me at times because maybe some days I have bumps in my life. God works with that. Thank God that he does. I have to be compassionate and humble. We're just called to be kind. As we live in this world, be careful what you say. Be careful what you do. Because Jesus is watching. And the hard statements, verses in Scripture, for me, growing up, was always this. Be holy. Because he is. It's a whole nother standard of living. Does it call you just? I'm not telling you. You just can't live in this world and be perfect. Okay, I'm not saying that. But the people that show compassion and love, mercy, being sympathetic, and do it better than anyone in the world should be Christians. That's what I'm saying. And listen, you may not agree with what someone says or what's going on in their life. But sometimes just an act of compassion can bring walls down. An act of love can bring walls down. Can I just tell you, not everybody is loved by their family. Not everybody is loved by their parents. Not everybody is loved by their kids. Not every grandparent is loved by their grandkids. There's a lot of hurt in the world, folks. There's a lot of pain and suffering in this world. There's a lot of loss. There's a lot of anger. And let me just say it this way. There's a lot of evil. And evil people seem like right now they're connecting with evil people. But that's still no excuse for us not to live the way God's called us to live. The darker it is, when the light shines, the brighter the light seems to shine. But the light has to shine. Some of us have been hurt by people. I know that. Some of us have hurt people. We've probably all done that. But God says, be holy. Be holy. Father, as we get ready to close out this sermon, Lord, I just pray that your Spirit has moved upon us in a way that only you can do. We're not judging one another, but Lord, we do need to look in the mirror today. And only the true words that will come from you will only come from you and not our own words. So may our hearts, as we take this time of invitation, may we hear from your Spirit and be obedient to what you'd have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.